First, while money is a big concern for people thinking about retirement, our next guest says there are a lot of other things to consider. Things like finding meaningful ways to spend your time. Retirement is a huge change of lifestyle after decades of your life being centered around work. Robin Ryan is a licensed vocational counselor and the author of several books about work-related topics. Her latest book is Retirement Reinvention. Robin, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, in your career doing vocational counseling, it must seem like people do a lot of thinking about what they're going to do for their job and training and things like that. On the other hand, do we not think enough about what we're going to do after that career?
Well, I'm seeing retirement as the last stage of the career. And, you know, I've spent my lifetime teaching people job search and career changes. And when I went through breast cancer, I started to think about how finite life is. And I started to worry about retirement, not, you know, for myself and my friends and people that I knew. And everybody was talking about it, but nobody had a plan, Rob. That's the big problem. They think about it, but they don't plan out, like, how will I spend my time? And we likely will have 9,000 days to fill up if we retire in our 60s and live to the average lifespan. So that's a lot of time.
And people, when you say the word retirement, I think there's that, hey, I'm having a margarita on the beach or I'm out golfing or whatever. And, you know, one day I'm employed, the next day I'm a retiree. Things are different now, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Because, number one, you don't want to become a failed retiree. You don't want to be sitting at home just watching TV and miserable. You know, that's a lot of people's greatest fear. And the other thing, too, is 72% of the people are going to go out and get a job, but it's going to be part-time and it's going to be fun. For a lot of them, it's going to be volunteer and giving back. The boomers are a very active generation, and so they're going to seek out like-minded people. They want more social connection because your friends all start moving around and downsizing their houses and leaving, and everything changes. And the work friends, you're leaving them behind. So, you know, it's a big transition in your life.
And you write that a lot of people, yeah, will, even though they've left their first career, they're going to keep working either because they still need the money, they can't afford to not work, or because they want to be working still. How do we start to think about, okay, maybe I'm not going to work full-time anymore, maybe I'm not going to stay in the same line of work. How do we start to find that post-retirement job?
Great question. You've got to think about, what are your interests? What kind of people do you want to be around? Do you like electronics, or do you like fashion? Do you like jewelry? If gardening's it, then maybe you want to work in a nursery. So you start with the activity and the hobbies. And most of them are going to work part-time. You know, most of them say it's not really about the money. If it's absolutely about the money, you need to keep the day job. but they want to do something, too, that matters to them and lets them meet new people and socialize, because work is where we have a lot of our social connection.
Talking to Robin Ryan, her new book is Retirement Reinvention. And Robin, with your own story with breast cancer and with a lot of the stories of the people you talk to in your book where, hey, we're about ready to go on that big, you know, vacation all over the country, but then a parent falls ill. Or maybe you're planning for your retirement in 10 years and you're laid off in 5 years. It sounds like we have to start thinking about some core values so we're ready when the unexpected happens.
Absolutely. And that kind of transition, you know, you have a plan, but then life happens. You have to worry about things such as, where am I going to live? Who, you know, what am I going to do? Who will be my new friends? How will I make new friends? A lot of people want to travel. They want to leave the Wisconsin winter and go where it's warmer in the state of Florida, Arizona.
Wait, does that happen?
yeah, I've been there in the winter. I know what happens. I think it's important that you come up with a plan. And so one of the things that I try to do is show people, by thinking about in advance, you know, your interests, your values, where are you going to live, how will you make new friends? You can't just be hanging around with the spouse all the time. And then how do you also handle problems? Because many of us, myself included, are dealing with an elder parent. My mother has Alzheimer's. She has to be in a home because of it. You know, it's just a lot to handle on top of everything else. And I think a lot of people fear that their job when they retire will just be a caregiver. And if you don't set some limits, that may be the case. So, you know, retirement requires a very good plan and a lot of soul searching and self-assessment.
A lot of the people you talk to and talk about in your book came to the realization that, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of their social network is based on work. A lot of their identity is based on the work they do. So there's like this philosophical question that we have to grapple with. Who am I? How do we start?
Well, if anybody's ever lost their job, they know how bad it felt when, you know, people say, so what are you doing now or what's your job? And you're like, oh, I'm looking for work. Well, when you become retired and people say, so what do you do? And you say, I'm retired. They're like, oh, like you don't have anything of interest to talk about and that you're not interesting anymore. That's why you have to develop new hobbies and you have to have new interests and read books and, you know, go to movies and go out and enjoy nature, because you need to be staying involved and being active, whether that's physical activities like walking or golfing, I don't think ice skating in the winter, you know, but maybe you're doing yoga and maybe you're doing Tai Chi, you're trying some new things, anything that's going to broaden out the network, because once you leave that job, you're going to lose being, you know, I used to be vice president of this, or I used to be the secretary to the, you know, so-and-so, and you know, that's all going away. The company identity that you've known for a long time, it disappears because you're not there anymore.
One thing that a lot of people think about and a lot of people do is volunteering. But when you think about all the volunteer options out there, that's as broad a statement, I want to volunteer, as I want to have a job. How do we start to figure out not just that we want to volunteer, but what kind of volunteering is going to be right for us?
Well, I think you have to think about the cause. What do you care about? And my mission and the message that I'm trying to spread is, if you'd spend 5 to 10 hours a month, very little time, but think about if all the baby boomers did this and gave back, what a difference we would make throughout the country and the world. Some of the causes, you know, like, for example, if you care about homelessness, you could work for Habitat for Humanity. Maybe it's animals you care about. You could work at a zoo. You could work at a sanctuary. You could help a vet out if you care about veterans. There's a lot of people that are seniors and need people to drive them to doctor's appointments. If you're interested in children, you could become a storyteller at the library. I mean, in the book, there's over 200 stories about what real people like you and me are doing, not like the Bill Gateses of the world, because that's just absolutely amazing, but it's not something that you or I are going to do. And these stories are just what other people just like you are doing to give you ideas, because I think that's what it is. A lot of people don't have their own ideas. They don't realize, how would I find a job if I cared about homelessness, or how would I find a job if I cared about education? And, you know, I try to outline a lot of steps to make it easy for them.
We're talking with Robin Ryan. Her new book is Retirement Reinvention. Robin's a licensed vocational counselor, and she's giving advice on how to plan for retirement, not just the nuts and bolts money stuff, but, you know, finding what you're going to do during the day, how you're going to find meaning in your life, especially if a lot of that meaning had been attached to your job up till then. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this you? Are you knocking on the door of retirement? What kind of things are you thinking about doing afterward? Are you in this situation yourself? Did you have that, what she calls a failed retirement period, where you're just kind of hanging around, not sure what you're supposed to do with your time? And do you have advice for other people entering that stage? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Robin Ryan about her new book, Retirement Reinvention. Robin's a licensed vocational counselor. She's giving some advice on how to get ready for retirement, what to do with your time when you're retired. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your story. Are you retired? Do you have a story about your transition from work to life after that career? Or if you're on your way there, have you thought about what you want to do once you're retired? What do you want to do with your time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. It's your calls now. Nancy is with us in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Hello. I'm calling to say that I choose to look at this time as refirement time, not retirement time. This is the time to fire your passions and make sure that they are going to come to fruition. I also would like to take some opposition to your author, because I feel that unstructured time is wonderful. I wallow in it. I absolutely wallow in it. I do not necessarily choose to enter into any kind of an activity where I'd have to be someplace at a specific time or specific days of the week. We need to treasure this unstructured time. We used a large portion of our lives being structured. What is wrong with being unstructured?
Nancy, thanks a lot for that call. A couple things there. Let's take that second point first. Robin, I don't think you're saying people in retirement have to have necessarily structure of their time.
No,
if they don't want to. They just got to have something to do.
Right. They just have to have something they care about. And she's right. It is a time to fire up your passion. And spend your time doing things you enjoy. The first thing that people want to do when they retire is throw out that alarm clock. And I can't wait to do that.
Nancy, thank you so much for your call. Go next to Will in Trigo. Will, hi.
Hello. Yeah, I just brought up the point that a lot of people aren't going to have a lot of free time because we haven't been able to save for, and the Great Recession hit the Gen Xers real bad. And, you know, what I'm looking for is to probably work, you know, throughout my whole retirement. And so it's not trying to structure my time. It's trying to find a job that maybe doesn't, you know, maybe isn't ageist or, you know.
Gotcha. Will, thanks a lot for the call. And we heard from some people on our Facebook page as well saying that, Robin, they're worried that retirement may not be an option. Do you want to talk about people planning, you know, to keep that career going after we might want to?
Yes, there are a couple of options. One option, too, is a bridge job. And a bridge job is usually a year where you're maybe coming down in your retirement and you're talking to your own company and saying, hey, I'd like to retire. How about I work 4 days a week, or how about I only work 3 days a week for the next year, but I will help you train the new person. I'll do everything you need me to do. So that's one way to carry it on. The other thing, too, for a lot of us, if we need income, then some boomers are actually starting a new business, and they're making big money. Now, this is not for the faint of heart, because we're talking about, you know, 50, 60 hours a week and having to really put a lot of time into it. But those businesses can earn anywhere from $100,000 to $300,000 a year, and that's what people are doing. They're trying to replace the lost income. The third piece of advice would be, if your company lets you go, look for another job in your field. But you've got to appear like you've got a lot to give. I wrote a book called Over 40 and You're Hired, and in it I'm talking about how there's age discrimination, so you've got to be very careful and really make yourself contemporary by saying in your resume and in your interview that you've got a lot of recent accomplishments and you still have a lot to contribute. And people can find jobs if they're over 50 or even over 60, a lot of places, because a lot of employers want to hire baby boomers.
Yeah, are you seeing a culture change of employers? You said there was age discrimination, but are employers waking up to the idea that, hey, these people in what we might consider retirement age still have a lot to offer our organization?
Well, they're slowly waking up to it. And the reason being, in some places, they can't find people. And so now they're trying to cultivate their own retirees and saying, how about, you know, do you want to come back part-time? And a lot of retailers are definitely going after the baby boomer market and trying to appeal to them. The people that are doing Uber and Lyft and chauffeuring kids around, those are a lot of types of jobs that can pay better than minimum wage, because, you know, people that still need money, they're not looking for the, you know, minimum wage. I just want to go have fun because I like, you know, working at the garden. That's a different situation.
Will, thanks for that call. Go next to Jeff with us in Pelican Lake. Jeff, hi.
Oh, hi. I'm 70 years old, and I haven't been as busy as I've ever been.
Good.
What are you doing, Jeff?
Well, at least three times a month I volunteer at the local food pantry, and so basically that's unloading semi-trucks and stocking and doing inventory and then distributing the food. And then I also learned how to repair chainsaws. So I've been fixing up chainsaws and reselling those, and I actually burn wood at my house, so I'm in my woods cutting wood, harvesting that and stacking it, getting ready for each winter. So I need 10 cords of wood.
Jeff, and did you just retire or have you been retired for a while?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for sharing your story. Cutting the firewood and unloading semis. Jeff's in better shape than I will be at 70. But Robin, he's embraced retirement and is finding cool stuff to do.
Right. He's the poster child. That's the type of thing. Listen to his voice, too. He was excited. He's happy about his life. You know, this is the stage that we're in right now, and it needs to be the best time of your life because it's where you're at. Your best days aren't behind you. Your best days are ahead of you, and they're tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. Someone like Jeff who's really embraced retirement, that's a great example for other people.
Thanks a lot for the call, Jeff. We're talking to Robin Ryan. Her new book is Retirement Reinvention. Back to your calls now. Laura is with us in Lake Geneva. Laura, hi.
Hi there. I'm so excited that you guys are having this conversation. I, out of the blue, became retired about 7 years ago because I met a wonderful man and got married and moved from California where I was a single mom violin player, never thinking I would ever be able to retire, to suddenly having retirement. So I had no plan whatsoever. And I have been trying to figure out what to do with my time, actually. I did go out and learn how to fly a plane,
wow.
And I got my pilot license.
Oh, wow.
So I enjoy flying planes, but, you know, that's just something you do for an hour or two, maybe a couple days a week. And aside from that, I like to keep my brain active, so I'm always playing a solitaire game, virtual solitaire.
So, Laura, I got to ask, are you still playing the violin?
I am, but there's not as much to do in Milwaukee as there was in San Jose, California.
All right, Laura, thanks for setting that up for us. Robin, what are your thoughts for Laura?
Well, you know, she made a good point. You can be a starter or a joiner, and so starting to get your pilot's license, that's amazing. But if there's not enough violin work, then look around and see, can you start a group? Maybe you can create something through Meetup, M-E-E-T-U-P, meetup.org. You'll find in meetup.com. You'll find them on the web, and they set up a lot of interest groups. You can set up, you know, who else plays the violin, and you'll find like-minded people, and maybe you'll start a club, you know, just like a book club, you'll have a music club, and that might add something to your life. So that's a good resource for people if they're kind of searching like she is for more to do.
All right, Laura, thanks, and good luck. Look forward to seeing you in concert in Lake Geneva. We'll go next to Troy in Schofield. Troy, hi.
Hi, how are you? Well, I don't. I'm not retired yet, but I'm sure looking forward to it. And I kind of hate to give up my little secret here, but I know when we were younger, and you know, we used to take vacations with the children all the time to amusement parks, and we would get talking to some of the elderly folks in the campgrounds there, and they basically would go from theme park to theme park, getting paid to work as well as getting free campsites and that kind of thing. And I thought that would just be a wonderful thing to do for people that enjoyed being around the kids and the fun and the excitement. To me, I thought, that's what I want to do.
And that's your plan, Troy?
That's what I'm planning on doing, yeah.
All right, well, good luck with that, Robin. So there's a little bit of work there, but it's kind of work to support the theme park and camping and travel habit.
Well, it's the fun job. That's what I'm calling it. And, you know, Troy's got the right idea. He picked something that he said, this is going to be fun for me. I'm going to be around interesting people. I'll get my campsites paid for. I'll get into the theme parks. And, you know, Disney employs hundreds of thousands of people with all their theme parks. And so you could enjoy any of the parks if you decided you want to spend a little time down in Florida or a little time down in California. There's theme parks around your area, too. So, you know, look at those because many of them are open in the summer, and you might just have a part-time job in the summer. That's another thing you could try.
Also, you know, people talk about travel and retirement, and you might think of expensive, exotic locales and things like that. But for people of more modest means, it doesn't have to mean that. You can come up with a plan that meets your need for travel and going cool places and meeting people without costing, you know, thousands and thousands of bucks for every trip.
Absolutely. In fact, there's a lot of opportunities through to be able to house sit. And I write about people that are, you know, she was house sitting in Europe. She was in Tuscany. You know, other people were in different mansions in, you know, in the United States. People went down to Mexico. So there's a lot of opportunity where in exchange for maybe doing a little bit of work, like in Tuscany, she had to be there at night to let people in if they forgot their key, and she had to sweep out the entrance in the morning, and that was pretty much all her duties in exchange for a free place to stay. And it helped her learn the language, which was her original goal for going there.
We'll leave it there, Robin. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
We've been talking to Robin Ryan. She's a licensed vocational counselor, the author of several books about work-related topics. In her latest book, she's talking about life after work, though. She's been talking with us about her latest book. It's called Retirement Reinvention. And there's still time for you to share your retirement hopes, dreams, fears, too, if you want, or your own story and advice for others. You can do that right now on the Ideas Network Facebook page.